We are, of course, here this morning because early in the morning, the first day of the week, the women came to the grave to find that the stone was rolled away and that the body of the Lord Jesus wasn't there. Because why? He had risen. And the question I'd like to ask this morning to us as we begin is, what has the resurrection done for you? How has the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ changed your life? So I want to look at one of the lives of the disciples. And if you would turn in your scriptures this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin there, and we will get to the story of the resurrection. I want to start there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So, how had the resurrection changed the life of Peter? We look here, and it talks about hope here. It says a living hope. A living hope. Had it not been for the resurrection, Peter would not have had a living hope. But he saw the risen Christ. He saw, he held him with his hands. He touched his body. He witnessed the Savior that had come back to life. He had seen him as we looked out on Friday and had such a glorious presentation of the cross and the women at the cross. Thank you, ladies, for doing that for us. We really appreciate it. But we saw, and Peter had witnessed, the death of Christ on the cross. He had seen him being hung there. He had seen him die. He had seen the soldier take him off the cross. He had seen him being buried in the tomb. But today, the first day of the week, Peter witnessed the resurrection. And he now wasn't trusting in a Savior that was dead. He was trusting in a Savior that had come back to life and had risen from the dead. No other Savior, no other God that is worshipped on this earth can say that he came back to life. He was crucified and then came back to life. He was risen. So Peter's talking here about a living hope. Worldly hope is based on things that can die or be destroyed, right? Decay or deteriorate. Peter reminds us as believers that we are secure in our hope. We are secure because why? It says here it's incorruptible. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It was based on a Savior that had never sinned. Incorruptible, undefiled. It's unfading. Jesus Christ was here in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him. So Jesus was here from the very beginning of all things. He was here before anything was. Okay? And He's unfading. He proved His Lordship. He proved that He was God in the miracles that He performed while He was here on earth. He demonstrated with each miracle what was going to happen to us as believers. We were blind, but now we see. We were lame, but now we can walk. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we are alive. You see, Peter's hope was unfading. It was eternal. It's reserved in heaven. Because our relationship with God is secure, and the Greek word here for secure actually means, for the word kept here, is literally means it's protected by an army garrison, okay? Nothing can take it away. We are kept by God. The Bible says that nothing can pluck us out of his hands. Nothing can take us away from the love of God that gave us so great a salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. These realities should enable us to face boldly the challenges of each day. And that's how this, that's what it did for Peter. That's what it did for him. Let's think back. So worldly hope is more wishful thinking, and it ends where? At the grave. Whereas our hope as believers is based on a person, the living, resurrected Christ. If you turn over just a few verses from where we just read to verse 20. It says there, he indeed was foreordained, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest. He came in these last days. They saw him, they handled him, who through him believe in God, who what? Raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, as that so that you, your faith and hope are in God. God gave him. What does it say? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God gave him. And then he raised him up after he had died on the cross for our sins. He was resurrected. He is risen. Because Jesus overcame the grave, he promises his followers that they too shall overcome the grave. Our hope is a living hope. It is a hope that is alive and well. This assurance is so firm that we can risk our lives on it. We can risk our lives. So let's look back for a minute. What changed Peter's life? What is something that comes to mind as we think about the cross, and the day before? What did Peter say to Jesus? He said, I will follow you even unto death. And Jesus said, Peter, the rooster isn't going to crow tomorrow before you've already denied me three times. And a lot of times as believers, as Christians, we point our finger at Peter. But remember, when you point your finger, there's four pointed right back at you. How many times have we denied Jesus? How many times have we denied him in our lives? You say, well, I never said I never knew him. You don't have to say it. It can come by our actions. The things we don't say sometimes can be what accuses us of denying the Lord Jesus Christ. But why did Peter deny the Lord Jesus, whom he had just spent 3 years following him and seeing all that he had done? He had witnessed the miracles. He had seen him raise the widow of Nain's son back to life. He had seen him raise Lazarus from the grave after he had been dead for 4 days. He had seen the lame walk. He had seen the demons being cast out. He had seen the blind made to be able to see. What made Peter deny even knowing the Lord Jesus? What was he afraid of? He was afraid to die. He was afraid to die. He saw them take Jesus captive. He saw them dragging him before in a mock trial. He was afraid that if they could take him captive and they could kill him, What are my chances of surviving? He was afraid to die. You see, but the resurrection changed all that. When Christ came back to life, that all changed. Now, we think a lot of times of Peter's denial of the Lord Jesus, but a lot of times we forget about the faith that he had. You know, how many would leave your occupation, whatever you do, how many would leave your family and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ? How many would just leave everything you have worked for and follow Christ? Peter did that. His faith, he had faith, didn't he? He believed that Jesus was. In fact, he was the only one of the disciples that declared that, wasn't he? He said, "Who do you think I am, Peter?" And he said, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was the one that declared that of all of Jesus' disciples. He was the one that was, and as we had shown on Friday night here, he was the one that when the boat was in the turmoil of the sea and the storm was up, they looked and they saw someone coming walking on the water and they thought it was a ghost. Everybody thought it was scared out of their wits. Here's a ghost. What? And Jesus said, "Fear not, it is I." Who was the one that got out of the boat? How many here would walk? How many here would step out of the boat to walk to Jesus? Peter's faith was strong. He stepped out. He's the one on the Mount of Transfiguration. You think about that. Peter, James, and John. And here comes Moses and Elijah with the Lord Jesus and him being glorified. And they see this great event. And Peter said, let's build three monuments here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man of faith. And then, of course, when they came even to take Jesus captive, who was the one that drew his sword and cut off Malchus's ear? Who was it? It was Peter. It was Peter. You see, so even though we can say Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, we can see where his faith was. Now, thinking about all that, let's turn back to John chapter 20. Gospel of John. Chapter 20. And here we have it. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to" who? She came to Simon Peter "and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" Some of the other gospels, the angel who declared to the ladies that Jesus had risen from the dead, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Go tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus is risen from the dead." Why did these men of the gospel, writers of the gospel, point out Peter? You see, Peter here in verse 3 went out. The other disciple, John speaking of himself, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. The other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then comes Simon Peter. He came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but he folded, folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. As yet, they did not know the scripture that he must again arise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away to their own homes. Why is it Peter? There again, it shows his he was, you know, he was a he acted on his, the first thing that came to his mind, he did. John was standing there looking into the tomb, seeing that it was empty, seeing that the clothes were laying there. What'd Peter do? He didn't hesitate, did he? He went in. He went in and witnessed the empty tomb. Jesus wasn't there. Now, going on down to verse 19 in John chapter 20, says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them, saying, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said again, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So now, Peter saw the empty grave. Peter saw the clothes lying there. Now he witnessed in person the risen Christ. He came and he stood with his disciples. He showed them his hands that had been nailed to the cross. He showed them his side that had been where the spear had been driven into his side. Peter witnessed the living, resurrected Lord. So the story goes on, and it said Thomas wasn't there with them. And when they told Thomas about the Christ coming and showing himself to them, what did Thomas do? He said, unless I, what? See with my own eyes, unless I touch the nail prints in his hand, unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. So Thomas, again, had his doubts. But as we go on to verse 30 here in John chapter 20, it says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you, that I might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what? Life in his name. What if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead? Where would our hope be? Our hope wouldn't be the living hope that Peter talked about in his epistle. It would be a hope that had died. But rejoice, Christians, he is alive. Peter saw him, and he declared, he said, and believing, you might have life in his name. These are written that you might believe. So later on, and if you continue reading the Gospel of John, it says the disciples were together again. And what did Peter say? I'm going fishing. I'm going. How many went fishing yesterday? Peter says, I'm going fishing. I'd have been joining them. I love to go fishing. And his disciples, the other disciples said, we're going too. And they went out and they fished all night. And what happened? They didn't catch anything. You ever go fishing and not catch anything? It's still good to go fishing. Whether you catch anything or not. But Peter, they looked, and there by the seashore, there was Jesus. And he said, peace be to you. Did you catch anything? What have you caught? They said, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything. He said, well, throw your net over here. And so they threw the net. The Bible says they caught so many, they had so many fish in the net that it was about to sink the boat. They couldn't pull it into the boat. It was about to sink. Well, what did Peter do? Peter jumped out of the boat again. You know, this is the second time that he jumps out of the boat. This time he wades in, he pulls up his garment, he wades in, and he wanted to see Jesus. Why did he want to see the Lord? Well, you think about it. You think Peter, in the back of his mind, was thinking, what does he think of me? I told him I would follow him to the grave, even unto death. There I was. I couldn't even stand up and say that I knew him. Three times I said, I don't know him. And I cursed and I swore and I said it the third time. And then I heard that rooster crow. And I looked, and what was the last thing Peter saw? The Lord Jesus looked up at him. And he saw and remembered what the Lord had said. And the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter was so ashamed of himself for what he had done to the very Lord that he had followed for the past 3 years. He was so ashamed. You ever done something you were ashamed of? You ever thought, could God ever forgive me for what I did? Could I be forgiven? Do you think Peter had that same thought in his mind? Could I be forgiven for denying the Lord 3 times? So in chapter 21, beginning at verse 15, they made a breakfast. Jesus had made a breakfast and he had it ready for the disciples there. It says, so when they had eaten breakfast, which we're going to do here in a short time, Jesus said to who? To Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. You know. He said to him again, he said, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. And then Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord. You know. You know that I love you. He said, tend my sheep. Then he said, Jesus said a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Why did Jesus ask him three times? Do you love me? Why did he ask him three times? Wouldn't one time been enough? How many times did Peter deny the Lord Jesus? Three times. Three times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And his answer was, you know. You know. Have you ever had to go before the Lord and say, confess something that you're ashamed that you did, something, maybe even ashamed that you didn't do, maybe ashamed of something you said, something you thought, and you can hear that voice, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Go out and be a testimony for me. If you love me, go tell it. Tell what I have done for you. And we know that in the book of Acts, after the disciples had received the Holy Spirit, they went out and they were speaking to the people. And it was in Jerusalem. And as they were preaching, the people were hearing in their own language. There were people there. Can you imagine? You're sitting in here and say we have people from Mexico here. We have people from Italy over here. We have people from Japan over here. We have all these nationalities come together, everyone speaking a different language. And when the disciples spoke, they heard in their own language. And what'd they say? These men are drunk. These men are drunk. They're drunk with wine. And Peter stood up and said, these men aren't drunk. And they proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He proclaimed that Jesus, they had taken, this man who lived a perfect life, this man whom God sent to this earth, you have taken him, innocent man, and you have hung him on a cross. But the good news is, he's risen. He raised up from the dead, and he lives. And they were torn at the heart. And they said, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Turn away. You're headed to hell. Turn and head to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him and you shall be saved. And the Bible says, after Peter preached that message, over 3,000 souls came to the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as their Savior. And they were baptized. And they joined the church as it began there in Jerusalem. What changed Peter's life? How could he in one time deny the Lord three times and then on the other hand preach to thousands of people and see them all, see over 3,000 respond to the message? What changed? It was the resurrection. It was the empty tomb. It was the very thing we're celebrating here today. Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead. How has that changed your life? How has the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ changed your life? Has it had the effect on you that it did on Peter? Are you willing to be a strong witness for the Lord this morning? Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, I come to you thanking you this morning for the empty tomb. We thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. Father, you loved us so much that you gave your only Son to become the very thing that he hated the most, sin, and die on the cross for our sins and be buried in a tomb, Father, that wasn't even his own. But today we come thanking you that that tomb is empty. That Jesus, your only Son, rose from the dead just as he said he would. And that he lives with you. He ascended into heaven and is seated at your right hand. And he's making intercession for us. And one day soon, he said, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Thank you that Jesus rose, that he sits at your right hand, and that the day you tell him, "Go get your church," he will come again and receive us to himself. Thank you for that living hope that we have in Christ. Help us, Father, to live a life that is pleasing to you, that is a good testimony to what you've done for us. Thank you for the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.